Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, March the 4th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. You have told us before it come to pass, so that when it come to pass, we will know that you have told us. And we thank you for that. Today we ask that you would continue to give us the information that is necessary that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject today is the rise of dominionism. And I'm going to take this from an old article. It's quite an old article. Let me say it again. It was published back on July, August 2006. The writer of the article is John W. Whitehead. And the title of the article is The Rise of Dominionism and the Christian Right. The title again, The Rise of Dominionism and the Christian Right. Again, the writer of the article is John W. Whitehead, and it was published back in the year 2006, July, August 2006. The article opens up with a quote from Pat Robertson. Here's his quote. God's plan is for his people, ladies and gentlemen, to take dominion. What is dominion? Well, dominion is lordship. He wants his people to reign and rule with him. But he's waiting for us to extend his dominion. And the Lord says, I'm going to let you redeem society. There'll be a reformation. We're not going to stand for those coercive utopians in the Supreme Court and in Washington ruling over us anymore. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to say, we want freedom in this country. And we want power. Now that is a part of Pat Robertson's speech that he's giving here. And I'm going to read it again for you. And maybe one of these days we'll be able to give you the whole speech that he made. But let me just again let you know that I'm reading from an article entitled The Rise of Dominionism and the Christian Right. And the date of this article is the July-August publication of 2006. All right. Now here's what the article opens up with. It opens up with, as I said before, a statement like Pat Robertson, and you know him, you see him on television all the time. Here's Pat Robertson's statement. God's plan is for his people, ladies and gentlemen, to take dominion. What is dominion? Well, dominion is lordship. He wants his people to reign and rule with him. But he's waiting for us to extend his dominion. And the Lord says, I'm going to let you redeem society. There'll be a reformation. We're not going to stand for those coercive utopians in the Supreme Court and in Washington ruling over us anymore. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to say we want freedom in this country and we want power. Quoted from Pat Robertson. Here's how the article continues. From Harper Magazine to Vanity Fair and a host of other mainstream publications, the ever-expanding role of the Christian right is shaping the policies and politics of the nation in making headlines. As Charles Marsh notes in New York Times editorial, Wayward Christian Soldiers, American evangelicals have amassed greater political power than at any time in our history. This power, which can be traced to a handful of evangelical leaders with decided political agendas, reaches into the Oval Office and deep into the bowels of Congress. The result has been a fusion of the Christian right and the Bush administration. In fact, in examining the war sermons delivered by influential evangelical ministers during the lead up to the Iraq War, a professor of religion at the University of Virginia came to the conclusion that the single common theme among the war sermons appeared to be this: our president is a real brother in Christ. And because he has discerned that God's will is for our nation to be at war against Iraq, we shall gloriously comply. Yet this mindset signals more than just widespread evangelical support for a president who has professed to be a Christian. It actually dovetails neatly with the Dominionist philosophies seemingly espoused by modern-day evangelicals such as Pat Robertson, that is, the belief that Christians are destined to take over and rule the world by taking dominion over the political process and reinstituting biblical law. Many perceive this as a campaign to use the United States to create a global Christian empire. Now, I'm going to pause here for a minute, and I want to refer you to Revelation chapter 13 and verses 11 and 12. Now, notice what the author is saying here, what the author of this article is saying, and the author is John W. Whitehead. And remember when the article was written back in July, August of 2006. Now, notice, he's not quoting scripture. As a matter of fact, I have not been able to trace John W. Whitehead's connection to any particular church or any particular, prophetic orientation. But notice how closely his description of these Dominionists are related to what Revelation chapter 13 says. Now, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11 first describes the United States of America as this beast that comes up out of the earth, having two horns like a lamb. That would be Protestantism and Republicanism. And as I've said 1,000 times on this line already, Republicanism here has nothing to do with a political party. It has to do with a structure of government, because in a Republican form of government, the will of the majority is respected while the rights of the minority are protected, which means that that's how America started out. But notice that that verse continues. It says that this beast that comes up out of the earth, which starts out as lamb-like, will ultimately speak as a dragon. And then, says verse 12, that it will cause the entire world to worship the first beast, which is Catholicism. Notice what this article says in that very last paragraph that I read for you. It says, yet this mindset signals more than just widespread evangelical support for a president who has professed to be a Christian. It actually dovetails neatly with the Dominionist philosophies seemingly espoused by modern-day evangelicals such as Pat Robertson, that is, the belief, listen to this now, that Christians are destined to take over and rule the world by taking dominion over the political process and reinstituting biblical law. Many perceive this as a campaign to use the United States to create a global Christian empire. Now, that last sentence fulfills what Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12 says, that the United States of America will cause the entire world to worship the first beast. And that word cause does not mean persuade. It means force. Here's another quote from James Kennedy. And I'm sure you know James Kennedy. You see him on television still today. You also see Pat Robertson on television still today. Here's a statement by James Kennedy, your television evangelist, who's standing there on Sundays in front of this packed-out church. Listen to what he says. Our job is to reclaim America for Christ, whatever the cost. Now, I'm going to read that sentence for you again, okay? Our job is to reclaim America for Christ, whatever the cost. As the vice regents of God, we are to exercise godly dominion and influence over our neighborhoods, our schools, our government, our literature and arts, our sports arenas, our entertainment media, our news media, our scientific endeavors, in short, over every aspect and institution of human society. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12. And this beast, this lamb-like beast, this beast with lamb-like horns, ultimately is going to cause or force the entire world to worship the first beast, which is the papacy. And of course, worshiping the first beast, which is the papacy, means that they are going to copy the governmental system. The United States of America will ultimately copy the governmental system of the papacy, which means to enforce religion. So let me read those two men statements back, as is published in an article written in 2006. Huh? Not 2016, but 2006. First, let me repeat Pat Robertson's statement. God's plan is for our people, ladies and gentlemen, to take dominion. What is dominion? Well, dominion is lordship. He wants his people to reign and rule with him. But he's waiting for us to extend his dominion. And the Lord says, I'm going to let you redeem society. There'll be a reformation. We're not going to stand for those coercive utopians in the Supreme Court and in Washington ruling over us anymore. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to say, we want freedom in this country and we want power. James Kennedy's statement. Quote, our job is to reclaim America for Christ, whatever the cost. As the vice regent of God, we are to exercise godly dominion and influence over our neighborhoods, our schools, our government, our literature and arts, our sports arenas, our entertainment media, our news media, our scientific endeavors, in short, over every aspect and institution of human society. Now, that is an article that was written in 2006. And of course, that is what led for the Trump administration to replace 200 plus judges in the justice system. That is why so many of the departments of government were replaced by him, with people who had no experience at what they were doing, but because they had been chosen by the far-right evangelicals to do those jobs, because they were people who were following the agenda of these dominionists. Continuing the article, it says this. The heart of the debate is over whether or not the United States is a Christian nation. As Sonia DeWitt noted in her article, An American Agenda, which was published back in November-December 2005, many Christian leaders and organizations have adopted the position that the concept of separation in church and state was never intended by the founding fathers and is an impediment to the righteous, godly society they are intending to create in America. So in other words, they believe that the separation of church and state is a fraud. Was never intended by the founders, they say. DeWitt, continuing, like many writers, cites both Francis Schaeffer and R.J. Rushdoony as supporting the notion that there should be no separation of church and state, that in fact the United States should be a Christian nation. Yet, while Rushdoony unabashedly advocated a Christian theocracy, this is a far cry from Schaeffer's views. An ordained minister in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Rosas John Rushdoony, who was born in 1916 and died in 2001, often referred to as the father of Christian Reconstructionism, dedicated much of his adult life to working to restore the historic Christian doctrines of postmillennialism and Christian dominion in the church. The book that he's published in 1973, entitled The Institutes of Biblical Law, promoted a social philosophy shaped by biblical law, a philosophy that advocates a return to the Old Testament. It was this book, more than any other, that gave rise to the Christian Reconstruction movement. In keeping with Christian Reconstructionism, Rush Dooney believed that the federal government should concern itself with national defense, while education and social welfare should be handed over to the Christian churches. As Rush Dooney stated, the Christian Theonomy Society will only come about as each man governs himself under God and governs his particular sphere. And only so will we take back government from the state and put it in the hand of Christians. Unlike Rush Dooney, who exhorted Christians to take over the world for Christ through political means, Francis Schaeffer, who was born in 1912 and died in 1984, a Presbyterian minister and apologist, called for a return to true Christian spirituality through social activism. At no time did Schaeffer advocate a Christian theocracy. In fact, Schaeffer's book, A Christian Manifesto, published in 1981, embraced the idea of freedom for all and especially freedom for all religion. That was the original purpose of the First Amendment. Although Schaeffer rightly pointed out that the separation of church and state in America is often used to silence the Christian church, he disagreed vocally with Rush Dooney's dominionist ideas. Schaeffer wrote, "As we stand for religious freedom today, we need to realize that this must include a general religious freedom from the control of the state for all religion. It will not mean just freedom for those who are Christians. It is then up to Christians to show that Christianity is the truth of total reality in the open marketplace of freedom." In his article for Vanity Fair, Craig Under described Schaeffer as the most important religious figure that secular America has never heard of. Unger was absolutely correct. Yet while Schaeffer's writings greatly impacted modern Christian thinking, as Jerry Falwell has remarked, Schaeffer began teaching me that I had a responsibility to confront the culture where it was failing morally and socially, and spurred many Christians to social activism, especially when it came to taking a stand against abortion. Rush Dooney's writings transformed the way Christians thought about political involvement and essentially laid the foundation for the emergence of a powerful political right wing. As Rush Dooney's son-in-law, Gary North, notes, his writings are the source of many of the core ideas of the new Christian right, a voting bloc whose unforeseen arrival in American politics in 1980 caught the media by storm. So you see the direction in which the nation is heading. And notice, I'm reading an article that was published back in 2006. Has nothing to do with 2016 and that election. But it has started a long time before that. Goes all the way back to the 1980s. 1970s, 1980s. Listen to a statement made by James Dobson. You see him on television also. Right? Listen to what James Dobson says. "The enemies of morality will not stop and will not back off. The left cannot and will not change. If the Democrats in the Senate try again to usurp the president's constitutional authority by filibustering, there will be a battle of enormous proportions from sea to shining sea." Now that's James Dobson. And this is back in 2006 I am writing about here. I'm reading about here. The article was written back in 2006. Now this is 2006 now. We're talking about it. This is not 2020. This is not January the 6th, 2021. No. This is James Dobson talking back in the year 2006. Let me read it again. "The enemies of morality will not stop and will not back off. The left cannot and will not change. If the Democrats in the Senate try again to usurp the president's constitutional authority by filibustering, there will be a battle of enormous proportions from sea to shining sea." Yes, Lord. That's James Dobson talking. Continuing the article, it says, while Rushdoony and Schaefer are virtually unknown outside Christian right-wing circles, their teachings, co-opted by those with political agendas, have taken on lives of their own. Fueled by the political writings of Rushdoony and the social activism of Schaefer, and energized by the Supreme Court 1973 decision in Roe v. Wade, Jerry Falwell and Tim LaHaye launched the Moral Majority in 1979. That same year, Beverly LaHaye started Concerned Women for America as a biblical counterpoint to the National Organization for Women. Since then, the Christian right has seldom looked back, even as it has taken on wildly apocalyptic overtones. By the early 1980s, the Christian right had formed a voting bloc that burgeoned into a powerful movement. It effectively ushered Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush into the presidency. As Catherine Eureka described in The Despoiling of America, the year 1982 through 1986 marked the period that would turn millions of Christians into an army of political operatives. It was a period when the militant church raised itself from centuries of sleep and once again eyed power. Perhaps we should stop there today. There's so much more in this article that we can and should read. But you get a feel for where these people are heading. And what is ironic about it is that most of these guys are still on media, still pushing the agenda. A great part of that 74 million people who are supporting the far right agenda in the election that has just gone by. But of course, all of that is the fulfillment of the prophecy that God has given us about what is going to happen in the United States of America. And it is also a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12, which describes the dragon as being wroth with the woman and going to make war with the remnant. The last part of the first part of her seed. And that is even further described as those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony or the faith of Jesus. Are we ready for that? Are you ready for that? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to warn us day by day concerning all that is happening around us, and we see it being fulfilled. You have told us before it come to pass, so that when it come to pass, we will know that you have told us, and that is so correct. We thank you for that. And we ask that you would give us the strength and the faith and the endurance necessary to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your daily briefing, March the 4th, 2021.